actions taken is laughable, it takes too long, etc. Because there must be some measure in place that would frighten me by the examples that I see on the action taken. But here, we went up in the previous year, 2015-16, from 184.3 million to 524.3 million. That is huge. And Chair, criminal proceedings, 26% of the cases. It really worries if you start analyzing these year after year after year. And I know the minister is not new to this department, luckily, so obviously there would be serious talks going on in with the other colleagues in other departments. And Chair, what is most concerning to me is we all at the moment are on the whole issue of land. It falls under rural development, and just look at KZN, who couldn't recover 40.5 million rand. And in Gauteng, the human settlements couldn't recover 171.5 million rand. That's a lot of money, chairperson. A lot of money. And what are we going to do with them in the provinces? Chair, may I just say, I think a new strategy must be brought to the table on how to get this down. It cannot keep on increasing. Something is wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Khosa.
Thank you once more, Chairperson. You have reported the amount of 269 million, but some of the sanctions handed to those found guilty was transferred, that is in slide 8. Was that really a correct sanction, or you have just transferred a problem? What informs that type of a sanction? And what really happened to those who resigned? How much money was recovered from those who resigned since they've already gone? And lastly, what is the policy with regard to the theft of the money? The second question, Chairperson, is that the 50% of departments submitted nil, that is in slide 6. Then what is the impact of not finalizing cases taken against the... What is the impact in that regard? Are consequences management taken against those? And or are there valid reasons why they did not perform in that regard? The other issue on slide 21, Chair, your sanctions are inconsistent. I must repeat this, it has been said, but the issue is that it comes back to the policy. Why the person who has taken much received less sanction than the one who has just taken 2 cents. Lastly, the lack of induction. I think I've asked this question from the first presentation, and the answer was yes, that there is induction. My question is, at what level are we doing induction? Because here we are talking about those lower level employees, and these are the people that are that are said to be they are said to be in the first level of contact with the service providers. It's where the money is coming. It comes through them, and they seem not to be receiving induction with regard to the policies of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Doc.
Thank you, Chairperson. Slide 15. The highest number of cases reported. Slide 16, provinces that reported the highest completed disciplinary procedures, proceedings, and slide 17 is always the same. Chairperson, my concern here is that if we could also be given those national departments or provincial departments that do not perform or that are reporting the least, it would also help us so that we are able to execute this, remedial measures where possible. My next question, Chair, is why such a high rate of financial misconduct in the national departments whilst they are supposed to be leading by example? The report shows that the report shows that there's an increase of SMS charged with financial misconduct. And this is disturbing because it impacts negatively on service delivery. How often do government officials attend the training on key public administration? I know that the DG has alluded to that, but one is interested in knowing whether they do attend these workshops at all. Chairperson, my last question is, there's inconsistencies with regard to the sanctions on misbehavior financially. Now, the person who receives the severe sanction compared to the other one, what recourse does that such a person have? And I would like to know how prevalent is such a phenomenon in the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. From my side, I'll start with a recommendation to you, Honorable Minister, that you probably, I'm suggesting that you need to look at, that is it not proper that we also revisit the template, that reporting template that is used by Public Service Commission and also DPSA as it were? Does it give us the intended expectation from the study group, from the portfolio point of view, or expectation from also even the this year's donor as well, because it spoke of some issues around the state of financial misconduct, as it were, and also the turnaround of disciplinary cases as well, to look at that and see how best can we also probably walk our talk, as it were, and departments start taking us seriously. The other one that I would like to also, Minister, to help us with, that PSC is 1300. At least twice a year, they need to have a platform with the President as well. We did raise it with the former Minister, and she made an undertaking. But of course, then that undertaking is handed over to you. Because there are also other serious matters that also will also stretch in the teeth of Public Service Commission, as it were. Where possible, but also we are requesting you to talk to your colleagues, also to pay attention in these areas of the output or the work or the product that is done by Public Service Commission in terms of the recommendation. That would be the recommendation, but also from the portfolio committee point of view, members will recall that sometime in 2015 we did also agree to prioritize certain departments and other provinces. One of those departments, Minister, was Public Works. And from listening on the questions also, we need to prioritize those departments that are so-called serial offenders within the space. Because they are the ones that need to tell us, and their accounting officers, to say, with all other previous years that the AG has been raising, also the SCOPA Portfolio Committee. But the role of this committee also is to ensure that it doesn't even need to be raised at a SCOPA level. We must say how much work can we do as an oversight and recommendations that also will make sure that the priority of dealing with crime, of corruption and related matters are being taken seriously by those ones who are responsible for the public purse, as it were. The other one which is linking that we made it as a priority is paying off service providers. And when we invite Public Works as a follow-up issue, they need to tell us the improvement in terms of paying service providers, because they were like 18 months back when they reported to us. they were supposed, but we must call them. And I'm saying in the next quarter, after we have received this report, that as a follow-up, this is building up, even those also alarming provinces, as it were, within this space, so that they could also assist us. But also, Minister, I know that you are happy that DPME have dealt with a performance agreement and a delegated authority of the DG. But also, if we can look at the possibility within the space to insert this in the senior management KPIs as well. Because I've got a strong feeling that sometimes we don't care, even inconsistent also in the sanctions and all that, and recouping money that has been lost, that we don't care because it's not our personal money. But if it's also within your KPIs, you look at that space, I'm not too sure whether it's appropriate to locate it in the KPIs or what, but you are better placed in the department to look at that. I'm making recommendations which I would like members also to react and respond to that, because I can't just make recommendations and let it as if we all agree. The other one also, within the same space, Minister, if we can, I know it will take time probably for the next to be legal report, to say how many of this senior management that as government we've recycled them, and they jump and they go to another department and all that. Because also that one also, it creates a perpetual behavior that it doesn't change. Because training, you can train people, but also if they don't, there's nothing that holds them to be accountable personally. They will never change. You will continue to train them. I know I raised it earlier on about the training, but also I'm saying we must also balance that. How do we then ensure that they really take us seriously? If it needs to be the name and shame as well, of those officials, because the EAs, they are not the ones who are really doing this maladministration, are the technocrats, and they know how to also to deal with these matters within themselves. Let me just check my notes here. The other one, which also was a very interesting one, if a commissioner, you can just explain to me in a simple English the meaning of suspended dismissal, because it's used in a way, one category as one. What does that mean, and what causes that? Because the council dismiss me and suspend me, and also I don't want to go the many times. What does that mean? And I'm sure that when we engage also with the National School of Governance in this area, in terms of training, do they have the tools or systems to see the value money for the trainings that have been attended, specifically on this one? Because this one is not induction, but it's training so that also we sharpen our skills within that. That will be, but I'll urge that because of time as well, those questions that you don't have elaborate responses, accurate ones, you do them in writing. And members, if they still have got follow-up, I'll ask that they also submit it in writing. In writing, because also we must respect time without suppressing the interesting subject matter. We must do thorough, but we have promised ourselves that when they come back, some other follow-ups also we can do them in conjunction with the Public Works Department in our next term, before June. So you do that. But even the questions that we have raised as well, we would like also to get the question, the written response as usual. It's just a courtesy reminder that you must be mindful of that. The other one that I want to say is that members, moving forward, we must see how to manage also the questions and all that it will have as well in future, so that we have a general understanding in this committee. It will have. I'm tempted, I don't know why I'm taking you, but now you have opened your mouth. Over to you, Honourable.
I want to ask a question. I just want to raise a point for the next meeting that you refer to now. Mm-hmm. And that is clarification maybe to us as committee. What does the law allow for a person who is found guilty of something that's got to pay back, and he leaves, can it be deducted from pension, yes or no? If a person is found guilty of something, is there in some way something similar to like a blacklist? That person cannot work in government again. on a certain level of, let's call it crimes or whatever they've done wrong. Those type of legal things, because we've never had the Labour Department to come and explain to us, because we're not fundies, well, I'm definitely not on all the on the Labour law. So also a presentation maybe, or some ideas on exactly in the legal framework, how can we get back the money, what happens to the people, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure the chief negotiator would have loved this money to make his deals easier, but maybe we should now take away from the union and the people if this amount keeps on growing.
Thank you. Honourable Minister, then I'll give it to the Commission. We know that it's Section 100, but I think some of the issues that we raised, it's appropriate that we allow the Minister to respond or to make comments.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it is proper to give me the opportunity, or even the department for that matter, an opportunity to respond to these issues, because the implementation of all of this really rests with the Department of Public Service and Administration. And Honourable van der Waals, I would request that you don't bring in the land question when you discuss this matter. Don't sneak in.
Don't sneak in issues.
Because I'm one of the most passionate people on the land question. I'm just going to give responses that will be all-encompassing, because these responses will help the portfolio committee find some comfort in the fact that it's issues of interest to the department. It's really they really speak to good governance and accountability, basically. And we have a responsibility to ensure that the regulations in place, directives, and policies that speak to those matters. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock with the Minister of Finance, and amongst the things that we are going to discuss is a directive that I plan to develop and send to all departments, and I'm glad that there's someone from province that would expect the AG, which the Treasury, the DPSA, and also the DPME, to work around a directive that would ensure that some of the issues that we're discussing here, departments will be evaluated by the Auditor General for reporting purposes. But again, looking at the trend analysis that I had said we need to do, having taken the sample that I said would have to go into, would then be able to determine the different sanctions for the same transgression or crime, if we could call it that, and ensure that departments apply standard sanctions for standard transgressions. Part of the reason, I think, is because the monitoring by the Department of Public Service and Administration on these matters is lacking. But not only lacking, if for instance we know that the sanction does not speak to the transgression, what is our role as a department insofar as that is concerned? And those are the issues that we need to be working on, because the Public Service Commission reports on what the departments actually give to them, basically. So we'd really have to find, as I said initially, which was repeated by the chairperson, because when I started talking this morning, I spoke to the issue of ensuring that the reporting template is such that it assists all of us, and also that the reporting template must be able to speak to what it is that we report on as a department, the Public Service Commission, policy monitoring and evaluation, and also the Auditor General. So I think it's time that all of these systems speak to one another with a single reporting template that will help all of us. My advice to the Portfolio Committee, and I think it's your responsibility, and I speak in my capacity as an MP, to make things a lot more easier for all of us, you have the right to call departments to account on this matter. We will give you the information. We will report on the issues together with the Public Service Commission, but also take an interest and make it also your responsibility for instance, call the Gauteng Department to come and account on all of these issues. And also to say to you, why is it that a particular sanction was given when the transgression warranted, for instance, a dismissal? But again, do they recoup the money from the pension? How do they recoup money? Are those cases already reported to the police? Are they, I mean, even if people have resigned, it doesn't mean that the case falls away. There has to be some follow-up sanction of sorts, and there must be an interest from the department that has suffered loss to ensure that those issues are taken up in full. The reporting template, the sanction, as I had said earlier on. I'm just trying to respond to this to say we will issue directives that will help us to curb the scourge of corruption, both from a reporting perspective, but also from a sanction, which is consequent management perspective. And we will then be able to report periodically on real cases so that the portfolio committee can understand, but also for the people of South Africa to understand that government is taking the issue of corruption seriously, but not only corruption, financial misconduct in general, because it's not only corruption that we're looking at under financial misconduct. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Just to correct myself, I was not listening to myself here. Chapter 10. Yeah. I said 100. I know I said something funny. And I was just rewinding what I said. Commissioner Nkosi, let me allow the minister.
And respond to the suspended dismissal. For me, it appeared like a cruel joke when I heard it as well.
Oh, yeah.
That this is steps in action. These are the police. And we would all know and hear about stories of people who are police getting involved in cash and transit types and this or other crimes for that matter. Now, it would be interesting that of these 44 cases, and this is information that we are going to be requesting from the police, of these 44 cases that are suspended dismissal, which they have copied from the court to say that you have been sentenced to 20 years with 20 years suspended, so 20 years suspended sentence.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same thing. Now, I don't know if we have this type of sanction. And why would SEPs go for this type of sanction when there are problems in SEPs? So we will look into this as a department, go back to SEPs, and ask what this is. Just the cases themselves, what the transgression or crime was, and why such a sanction was imposed, as opposed to a sanction that would be dismissal outright, or a fine, or a final written warning, or any other sanction for this matter. For that matter, but the suspended dismissal is a little dicey. I had requested that the department should go through slide 9 and get all of these cases from the various departments so that we can be able to analyze them to the department and determine where the sanction meets the transgression of the crime. On page 10, that no loss to the state and the amount not recovered, to me it just doesn't make sense, but unless one has gone through the comprehensive report in itself, you might be able to determine why that is in terms of the way that it's reported. But again, Chairperson, it goes back to the reporting template.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you tell me that there's an amount that was involved of, I'll go to the Gauteng one, of 198 million. And the amount recovered was 282 million, and 68 was of no loss to the state. I can't imagine how you can say that. But I don't want the commissioner to go into explaining all of that, because it is something that we are going to have to analyze and come back and fully report on all of these issues to the controller committee.
Thank you, Commissioner Kosi, over to you.
Thank you, what I want to state again is that it's PFMA and National Treasury regulations that instruct accounting officers of departments to report on the outcome. We come at the end of the process. They report on the outcome of completed disciplinary proceedings on financial misconduct. They do not only report to us as PSC, they report to the executive authority, to DPSA and the Public Service Commission, meaning that DPSA is also having the information because they have to send it to DPSA. Then the issue of the AG and us, AG having a higher amount of irregular expenditure. AG go into departments, audit financial statements. With us, we get reports from department of the cases that they have finalized. It's two separate things. And the reliability of the data that we receive from departments. We came with an instruction from the PSC to say, we won't take anything unless it has been signed off by the accounting officer. So that when the report comes out, accounting officers must not dispute the information that is provided in the report because they are the ones that signed off the information provided to the PSC. Then the issue of do we analyze a sample or it's all the departments? It's all the departments. All the information that we receive, we analyze it. I will also, I came with a copy, Chairperson, I will leave it to the secretary of the template that we use because in the past we would get a narrative and we would get different stories. Then that's why we said we will leave it. And even to DPSA, I will leave it to the minister to say this is the template that we receive, that we send to departments. With the issue of departments not charging people, as we say, discipline is a management issue. And I'm happy that DPSA is here so that they can see where it is not our mandate. It is them that have to communicate with departments. With us, we analyze, make findings and make recommendations. Just like we say, departments, strengthen your internal processes. So when they have strengthened their internal processes, it's where we pick up that before money was paid up, they were able to pick up that something is not right with this. We have to withhold the payments. We do understand good governance, but as we said, most of the things are not within our mandate. It's departments and DPSA is here, they will advise where they have, just like the minister covered most of all the things. Honorable Tawu, next time we will bring the two slides together because we thought that let's deal with the cases, disciplinary cases that have been completed, the amount and everything. So next time we will balance the two to say, these are the completed ones, these are not the completed ones. When you add them together, it gives the total number of cases that the department reported to us. And as I said, at the end of the report, of which I hope each and every member has got it, you will see the stats as per department. And it will be easy for the committee to call departments to account because the stats is provided in the report at the back. Then with the amount involved and the action taken, DPSA will take care of that because there is a guide that was issued of imposing the sanctions. But it means that presiding officers do not read them. That's why sanctions imposed, there is inconsistency. And the other contributing factor, it might happen that it's not one person sitting, presiding over a case. And most of the time, there was this thing of requesting a presiding officer from another department to preside over this, not a person working in the department. I don't know whether it is still happening like that one. It would not be somebody in the Department of Agriculture to preside over a case in Department of Agriculture. There was an agreement of requesting other people from other departments. Then the issue of transfer that is there, that is one case. It's a case in IPID where there was an executive director when the executive director was suspended. Then when the executive director came back because of the court judgment, the acting executive requested a transfer before they started investigating him. So he was investigated while he was no longer in the department. So it's not that when a person has a transgression in Department A, he requests a transfer to Department B, and the person is granted that transfer. It was just this issue. Most of the time, it's not happening. But it was this internal politics of a department. So when this one says, now because you are back, I'm requesting transfer. Then I will, Minister covered most of the comments and input given. So these are the few, unless my colleague wants to give something, but we will give a written response because we're taking all the questions. So we will give a written response to the question. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner, over to you.
Just two matters that I think we can highlight with regards to the nil returns. It does not mean that those departments did not provide the PSC with any feedback. The feedback, 50% departments indicated that there were no disciplinary hearings, disciplinary action in those specific departments. And then with regards to suspended dismissal, the minister is absolutely correct. It refers to cases or sanctions in the South African Police Service. And currently the South African Police Service discipline regulations of 2006 has a sanction there of suspended dismissal. And it basically means that when you commit a similar or related act of misconduct before a specific period of time, the sanction of dismissal will then be implemented. So that is only found in the South African Police Service.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Boshop and Commissioner Nkosi and Mr. Malasi. Thank you so much. I'm sure also other issues that we have raised as just for noting also. You will look at it at a commission level so that you see how do you ensure that across the board also there are follow-ups and suggestions as it were. Honourable Minister, thank you so much. If you feel like you are pressed with time, you are well excused. But some of your department members, the DG will decide who also stays behind. Would like them also to listen to the Free State report. It's just that it also we should also invite a DPME because it was a joint oversight in terms of areas of oversight when we went to Free State. Other than that, Minister, you would like to say something? Okay. Before she leaves, no, I let me promise her that she does write, she does phone, and please do respond to her letters. And so yeah, because
you
really
did. Really broad.
No, but your questions must be precisely. Also, must be precise. The assignment must be precisely. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, you can just take a walk with her. Thank you so much, PSC, Honourable MEC. Once more again, you are welcome. Are you MEC? So you wish. Next time I will. I didn't know. Oh, okay. You should have advised me accordingly. Okay. MEC, you do us a favor and introduce your team Of course, we did receive their names through the administration, but it's appropriate in terms of so-and-so responsible for this and that, and we quickly then move forward to deal with the progress report, as it were. But also, in your introductory, also give us a sense of comfort after we have introduced your team, that what is going to be presented to us, it has been also gone through the Department of DPSA, as it were, so that they also don't dispute what you are going to present to us. Would like us, we are one government at the end of the day. It's just that we've got not just, we've got different responsibilities as it is. And some of us also, we stay in some of these provinces. If you give us a nice two-year report, we'll go exactly to those spots and just unannounce as individuals and verify the information that has been given. But DG, before I allow the MSC, would you like to say something?
Thank you so much, Honorable. I thought it's proper before the MEC take the stage just to say two things. Taking the lead what you just said, Honorable Chairperson, that as DPSA, we do have officials who work closely with the present province, precisely even the office of the Premier. So they're here, one official sitting here who we're working with them. We do have what we call interdepartmental meetings on two spheres of government. So this one province, which is quite active, collaborating with DPSA, we must commend the MEC and the team sitting here. Thank you so much.
Okay, let me tell you, on DG, you don't applaud the fish for swimming because there will be no reason for it to swim. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to honourable members. It's a little bit difficult to sit on this side and then now you have to answer. I used to sit there and people answer. So it is Shinji Lizzie also, but I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Thank you very much.
Chair, a point of order. You must welcome Honorable Kompela very nicely. He was my chair in 2004 when I arrived.
Definitely.
Point of order, Honorable. Because just now, some of us, because I've got an issue even with Honorable Dombela from Free State, and I'm not too sure where some of us from other provinces you are, but on a lighter note, you are most welcome and please do. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you, Chair. Chair really has got nothing to do with nepotism. My home was in Cape Town for almost 15 years, so if you don't hear people asking many questions, you must know that I'm friends to them. And the first one would be Velma Druchen is not going to ask a lot of questions. And then otherwise, me and Velma are going to fight. But thank you very much. I feel at home and then with people that I've long seen the past 6 years. But thank you very much for giving us an opportunity. Chair, I've got a team of people that come from my department, and then we have Helen Kekana, DDG, from the Premier's Office on Monitoring and Evaluation. We have Basi Pulelo from DDG in the Department of Health on Clinical Cluster.
Oh, okay.
Then we have
Gender Balance Split.
Dr. Grace Lander, Chief Director at District Health Services. If there is a problem on the district health services chair, ask me, and then I'm going to ask Dr. London to pick her things and go.
Okay.
And she knows that.
And you must keep your word then.
I'm keeping my word, definitely. Then we have Dr. Marcus Mulukume, who is the CEO of one of our biggest hospitals called the Universitas in the Free State. And then we have Nobile Bartman. Bartman is the Chief Director, Infrastructure. If there are dilapidated buildings, Chair, and then there's leaking and all those other things, and Bartman knows, I call him at 1 o'clock at night, say, I'm at the clinic, bring the people because it's raining, the clinic is raining. So he knows that he doesn't sleep at all. Because if I don't sleep, nobody sleeps. Then we have Mayor Irene Griffiths, also in Monitoring and Evaluation, Chief Director in the Office of the Premier, but she's got nothing to do with Griffiths Mkhangi. No relationship there.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong. No, maybe you think that there's merit there. No, 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 no. She's in the Free State. We have Mayor Constance Ledwaba. She's dealing with the organizational development also in the office of the Premier. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, firstly, I would like to extend our apology from the Premier. Yesterday he was with us. We finalized the budget. Because there's supposed to be budget today, we've just postponed it for next week. And then he could come because the letter was written to him. He had a keen interest to come, but unfortunately, he's got some of the many things that he has to attend to. Then he requested me to join the officials and not coming alone so that we could hear what are you saying and then how are we going to intervene on matters that you have raised or that they're answering on. Chair, our brief to you is going to be very simple. It's going to be a brief that is really in tandem with your visit in the Free State on things that you raised and then that you were supposed to give a report. We have given a report, but I think it is also proper for us to give you a little bit. It's going to be very short, Chair. Chair, one of the things that all of us in the National Department of Health, we have done, and then it was a directive from the President that provinces must get better audit outcome. And we're given a group of SICA, it's a Institute of Chartered Accountants, we've come together, and provinces requested to that. Others didn't agree. I was the first to grab, and so in the past year, they were helping us, and then I think we've got a better outcome of audit outcome after 13 years. I'm new in the department, 13 months, but at least from disclaimer to where we are in almost a clean audit has given me a hope that we are going to run the department a little bit better. So when you go there, you're not going to scream like it was before, and then the department is getting sober now. Chair, we have gone out of Section 36A. The department was run by a provincial treasury because there was no proper running there, and therefore our arrival there, we worked very hard. It is now in our hands. We are running that department without another department from treasury directing us on how to run a department. So we're past the stage. We're on our own, but we're not going to deteriorate, go back, and then the provincial treasury take over that department. The issues that were raised, which are going to respond, were a patiency queuing system. That was a very big thing. We have tried to begin to intervene on that, Chair, and then we have what you call the CCGs, it's Community Caregivers, and the CHW, the Community Health Workers. Where a prescription is standing, Chair, like a high blood medication and all that, then there are people that are taking those things, drop them in different homes, and it's alleviating a queue because you can't go and queue from 5 o'clock and then just pick up a tablets for high blood when that prescription is standing there. So we're trying to alleviate that issue in that way, but we're not yet there. And then because part of the health, the community health workers is part of the bigger broad scheme of the national health insurance where we are going to get rid of the queues, and there should be no people going to the hospital that are not critical, but just going there to get a discipline, can get a discipline at the clinic, and then there should be no queue there. Chair, the waiting time, we've done a little bit turnaround the waiting time. I got quite a few of the letters. Others are coming from my friend, Mrs. Peterway, who's very critical of me in the province, but at least he's got a nerve to sign a very lovely letter and say the turnaround time is now better, and then I think I'm comfortable we're getting somewhere. So it shows we're working on a turnaround strategy of the way a waiting time at the both at the hospital and also at the clinics, Chair, which was a major thing when you arrived there. It was plakkerskap in Afrikaans, but it's no more like that now, and then I think things have tend to be better in the institution. And the infrastructure, Chair, I must confess that there was a serious decision that we have taken in the cabinet. that the infrastructure must go to public works. But I was the first on record, even anywhere, that in public works there is no department there. And if you take those things to public works, you are going to run into trouble in provinces, because the infrastructure refurbishment gets stagnant, and therefore we had a component which existing in the Department of Health, and we've gone back to our own component. At least the National Treasury and the Ministry has given us a letter and say, you are number one on the maintenance and spending and all that. You have gone back, but I can see now you are coming back, because we went to go and fetch everything from public work and say, we will do our own in-house, because it's us who have a pain. Somebody who doesn't have a pain thinks that in health is a joke. You can wait for tomorrow. You don't wait for tomorrow in health. Somebody will die now. And with that situation has turned, we have now our own in-house, which was there to deal with the issues of the maintenance and the refurbishment. We've prioritized the budget of the infrastructure, and we don't touch it, especially for renovation and the refurbishment, Chair. So I think where you have been, when you go back there, you'll find that the situation is not as it was. It's not a very good situation, but at least a promising situation of people that are really trying to get there. To an extent, Chair, the Health Professional Council was there in the province, and they have accredited us, and they're very critical, and therefore we have remained as a accredited site by the Health Professional Council, and next year they will be coming for the postgraduate, accrediting us that we can be an institution that can deal with issues of health, and I'm very optimistic too, that if they are accrediting us for now, and next year when they come for the postgraduate, we will be getting an accreditation also, so that at least we can work better. Chair, the other thing that was raised there was the issue of the patient transportation, and even that one too. I think we were the best on the neonatal death of children and everywhere in SADC and even in South Africa. Everybody was going to the Free State and saying, how did you do it? And now that we've deteriorated, we've found out what is the problem, we've gone back to do intervention there. We want to remain the best in the provinces and in SADC. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, MEC. I'm not too sure in terms of your intended approach. The MEC has made an overall overview without being specific. I will suggest then, Ms. Kekana, because it's you who's written here, that if you take us through, just deal with the specifics, not the very elaborate, because the presentation is detailed. We have read it, and we appreciate that we've got it on time. There were areas that were very clear about that we want the province to address. For an example also, which is not necessarily captured well in the report, I raised it with the Minister Muswaneng, the issue of recruitment of specialists within the health space. If you can talk to that and repeat it, because when we're engaging some of the officials, there was something that in terms of delegated authority and the turnaround time, to say how have you been dealing with that one to ensure that the turnaround within the recruitment of the specialists in every health practitioner space where there's a vacancy that has been created or a need, so to speak, which is more of a regulation issue than just a normal routine maintenance and all those things. Let me stop there and hand over to you, ma'am, and be summative as possible, if you may.
Responsibilities to departments that were expected to implement those resolutions and we also gave them time frames. Our target was to have 100% of the recommendations that are made, were made by the committee, to be resolved at least by 2018-2019 financial year, considering the fact that when the committee visited the province, it was already in the first quarter of last of the current financial year. But we have a slide. I'll move to slide number 5, where we've indicated how the classification of performance that will apply, because we've put classification of performance on various issues so that the committee has an idea in terms of where we are at the higher level with regards to progress and the recommendations made. I'll move to slide number 7. We have 48% of the issues that have been raised which are progressing well. Those are on the yellow section, and we have 27%. The number is on the previous slide. We have 27% of the issues that have been addressed, and we have 5% where there is no progress, and we have 20% where the activities have partially started, but they are not progressing well. And I will summarize progress, Honorable Chair, with regards to the issues that have been raised in hospital without repeating what the MEC has indicated. The issue of patients queuing for long at service points in hospitals, what we did is that, Honorable Chair, we looked at the root causes to say what is the reasons for long queues in hospitals.
Sorry, Ms. Kekan, there are some papers and all that just crossing my eyes. I would like to know what is happening here, just for the smooth running of the committee. We don't have that presentation. We didn't get it.
It's the same. There's no slides number.
Oh, the slides are not numbered.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, that's fine then. It's in order. Next time when you send us electronically, you must put numbers. They go a long way.
We won't be able to address all challenges, but we are trying to make sure that
you know what, MEC, you know what, when you come as a team, the presenter must cover everything and fill up the gap. You can't have somebody handing over to somebody. It just borders to something else that I don't want to pronounce. In future, just be careful on that. What message are you sending to us?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the challenge is that I think the issue of specialists was not well captured in our action plan, and we apologize for that. Hence, we did not have a proper response for that. But there is the recruitment of specialists, the posts have been advertised nationally, and that was for relevant specialists in hospital.
Mm.
And vacant posts with other medical schools, was also being advertised as well. And growing our own timber, more registers trained and absorbed once qualified, and standing approval for specialist posts. I think there are approvals that have been granted to fill specialist posts, and those have been highlighted in the three hospitals. It's included on the presentation. We've included those posts that have been filled. And the approval to fill those the critical posts was really along the lines of making sure that we fill the specialist posts, which are under the clinical posts. And some of them will be advertised in the next financial year. But the details are on the slide.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine. It's just a turnaround more than anything else. Because in some instances, it took more than 3 months, and there's a need for that service. So I'm saying probably if, not necessarily the details, it's the policy matter than anything else. That's Ms. Kekani, let's proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll move to Management Performance Assessment Tool, which is on slide number 35. And the issues that were raised on the management performance tool, majority of the provincial departments were not complying in terms of implementation of guidelines for implementation programs, which is one of the MPET requirements. What we have done as the province is that in collaboration with DPME, we have arranged the training for the province for the planning of implementation program. So that training has taken place. We have chosen program managers from key departments in the province. They have been trained. And we've also trained our trainers from our Free State Training Development Institute so that they can be trained, so that they can continue training other officials in the province. And the other key issues that were raised with regards to MPET, it was the issue of service delivery, our results for MPET not being correlated, my apologies for that, with service delivery in respect of provincial departments. What we are doing, fortunately, Honorable Chairperson, we've taken over the function of performance planning and monitoring as the Office of the Premier. It used the non-financial one. It used to be with Provincial Treasury, but it has now moved to the Office of the Premier, and we are making sure that there is correlation of information that we get from MPET results with that is included on the annual performance report. And certain provincial departments were not complying with the framework for annual performance plan is the issue that we are dealing with as part of our responsibility as the Office of the Premier. And the committee was also concerned about the validity or the contradictory information regarding the submission of SMS financial disclosures, but that has been addressed because in the past SMS financial disclosures were done manually, but now the matter has been resolved since all departments are required to submit their SMS disclosures electronically. So hence the legend on slide number 38 is green. So that matter has been addressed. And provincial departments not performing well when it comes to fraud prevention. In terms of the MPET results 1.6, we are now busy with, departments are busy uploading the results for MPET 1.7. But in terms of 1.6, we had three departments that did not have the fraud prevention policies or strategies. But what we have done as the Office of the Premier is that as soon as we got the MPET 1.6 results, we developed improvement plans for all departments, which included this key issue. And we have been monitoring departments to make sure that they have those policies in place. So departments are currently in the process of uploading the 1.7 assessment documents, and we are expecting them to upload those policies as well. provincial departments not complying with organizational design issues. Honorable Chairperson, in summary for that, the main problem that we have is that it's the financial constraints that we have as government. That is one. When posts become vacant, they are not filled mainly due to financial constraints. But the problem with departments is that they are not abolishing those posts on the structure, which creates non-compliance. And there has been an EXCO resolution which was taken, because I do sit in EXCO, to say all departments that have unfunded vacant posts should be abolished, but they are not doing that. So we will continue to work with the departments to make sure that they abolish the unfunded vacant posts on the organizational structure. And I will move to, because of time, I will move, because the presentation has been distributed, I will move to the next slide that deals with the non-compliance with the submission of HOD's performance assessment. All HOD agreements have been submitted to Public Service Commission, and they have acknowledged a receipt of those performance agreements. And there has been a directive from DPME on the PDMS of HODs, which has been approved on 6 December 2017. It will be effected from 1 April 2018. So that will assist us to address the issue of making sure that there is compliance on the performance agreements and assessments of HODs. I will move to the disciplinary process within 90 days, but that has been presented by Public Service Commission. So I'll skip that slide, which is slide number 47, and move to the issue of 30-day payments, which is a critical issue. The face on the 30-day payment in terms of the legend was green, because it was responding to the recommendation of the committee to say that the province must put measures in place to deal with the 30-day payments, which we have Provincial Treasury and Office of the Premier. Office of the Premier, we have a contact center where service providers can send their complaints regarding 30-day payments. Provincial Treasury also have various forums where they are dealing with 30-day payments. But we have a serious challenge, Honorable Chair. If I go to the next slide, which is slide number 49, the committee members and the chairperson will realize that the highest number of unpaid invoices was at the Department of Health and the Department of Education. And the reason they provided is that it's because of accruals. We have a budget as a province that is not increasing, especially with regards to COCs, compensation of employees. So every year we have increase of salaries, but in terms of the allocation to the province, they never get that increase allocated. So the departments, they end up not having cash because they use money for COE, not having cash to pay invoices. That's one of the reasons that they have provided. But in some cases, to be honest, Honorable Chairperson, some invoices, yes, departments do not just pay invoices on time. You'd find invoices sitting in the drawers not being processed. But those are the issues that we said to service providers, whenever you have those kind of cases, report them to the Office of the Premier through our contact center so that we can follow up on those issues. But it remains a serious problem, Honorable Chair. And I will move to the Chisung Service Centers. There's only three key issues on the Chisung Service Centers. It was the management committees that are not functioning properly, but the DPSA is dealing with that matter, and the progress is on slide number 54. And the issue of center managers, in the previous presentation, Honorable Chair, we spoke about center managers, which in some provinces we have them on level 7, which is the administration post, and we expect them to manage the center. So in the previous meeting with the portfolio committee, we raised the issue to say DPSA should review the level of center managers, because the one from Aponya Mall is the deputy director, but in our province it's level 7. So that we still don't have any progress with regards to that. So it creates a problem with the management of our centers because of the level. And the shortage of office space is the challenge confronting most of our Chisung service centers. Chairperson, that matter remains a problem. What also creates a problem is the issue of our procurement processes as well. I will give one example with the Chisung service center that was visited by the committee when they were there, which is Botshabelo Chisung service center. And I know I made a commitment that we will move to bigger offices. As soon as the committee left, we did a submission which went through our DG and our Premier to request that we close that office and we move the Tusong to where Home Affairs and SASA is. They are in a mall in Botshabelo. It's where we look at clustering of services in state of government building new infrastructure. We look where there are some services and we say, how do we bring in other services there to make sure that there is integrated service delivery? Public Works has advertised twice for the offices because they have to follow procurement procedures with no response from anyone there. So we could have been reporting that we have moved to the new offices because the approval was granted last year already. But we are working on that to try and find office space for Botshabelo. And our service delivery improvement plans, Honorable Chairperson, on slide number 59, DPSA is in the process of assisting the department to identify alignment discrepancies as resolved by the National Testing Forum, as is a challenge that is faced by all departments. But we still have a challenge with departments in terms of the scores for their SDIP, the quality of their SDIPs remains a challenge, but our department is working with departments to improve that. And we've also requested departments to allocate senior officials to the forum so that we don't have junior officials there to deal with the issue of capacitating them with regards to the SDIPs. And I will move to the National Youth Development Agency issues. There was an issue raised by the committee with regards to accessibility, which is a challenge. And the NYDA reported that they will be opening new service centers in Phuthadichaba, in Parys, and in Welkom, Thabong. We have new offices in Thabong, and I had a meeting with them. We will be allocating them space in that center. So there will be three new additional service centers to address the issue of accessibility. And moving to Home Affairs regional office, there was a complaint or a recommendation by the committee that Home Affairs should look at having additional offices, for example, in Bloemfontein, because currently there's only one office, which they are struggling because it's got too many people. But what they have done is that they've identified an office in town in the city center. They are busy finalizing the preparations to move to that office, not to move, but to provide services from that office as well, to make sure that they don't only provide offices from the Bloemfontein, from one office in Bloemfontein. And Maseru Border Post, which is the last issue, there was a recommendation by the committee that management, especially the South African component, to find a way of curbing illegal crossings and apprehending the facilitators of illegal movement at the port of entry. So currently the team of senior officials are analyzing the blockage of vehicles at the Maseru border post, but the infrastructure, Honorable Chairperson, is too small at the South African side, and that hampers the flow of citizens to and from Lesotho as well. So it remains a challenge. So the infrastructure issue has not been addressed. And on the way forward, all role players, Honorable Chair, they took note of the findings and the recommendation made by the Portfolio Committee. And the Office of the Premier will continue monitoring progress to ensure that the recommendations are implemented. And key focus moving forward will be on those targets that were not achieved or the work that has not commenced to implement the recommendation of the committee. But we will also take into consideration the budget constraints that we have as a country and as a province as well. And so far we've worked with, DPSA has been part of our team as well to assist us to monitor progress, and we will continue working with them to do that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Kekane. Honorable members, anyone from the team that would like to make any addition or will respond when I'm dealing with the questions? I think we are cool. Thank you so much. Honorable members, I think Tombela will start from my immediate right.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, what is of utmost concern to me, it's the ambulance services. I remember last year when we were checking the the national hotline issue. We demonstrated it in a committee meeting, and the results were a disaster. Now I am wondering, Kogoti Chairperson, if we were to demonstrate the turnaround time of ambulance, the prisoners, what would you get? I have had a few experiences where I would call an ambulance. Instead of getting the immediate service, I would get interrogated. Who you are? Where do you come from? Are you at the accident scene? Why not? How can we prove it? It is a very unfortunate situation. I do not know, Chair, whether it's still prevalent. I'm not sure. But I'm just raising it as a matter of very serious concern across the Free State, that it needs to be looked at, and to be looked at very urgently. With regard to the infrastructure at Bilonomi, I am encouraged that a lot has been done and a lot of work is in progress regarding Bilonomi, considering how it looked like when we were there and the problems that we encountered. I'm encouraged that something is indeed being done. Chair, my last question is on the issue of critical posts. It is said the vacancy rate is at 18.3. So the question is, how many critical posts are funded of the 18.3? And could the department specify what these critical posts are? Thank you, Chair. Maybe you give me a second bite.
Thank you, Honorable Kosa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, Honorable Ndombela has spoken to it, the response time, but my worry is that on response time, you indicated that as a turnaround strategy that the ambulances are being monitored by EMS, but I just want to believe that that has been there, even if before the province was visited. But the issue is, do they adhere to it? If you say they are being monitored, is there improvement with regard to such things? When they come to the scene where they are being called, do they come there with tools of trade? Just cite an example. If they come to an accident scene, do they come with jaws of life, or do they just come and see that there is an accident, and then they start thinking of bringing material to deal with that? I once experienced that, but not in your province, but they just come with no jaws of life. It takes them another 2 hours until people die. That is what we want as a turnaround strategy. Not that, one, two, three have been done. That has been there even before. The other issue I wanted to talk to Chair is the issue of patients queuing for 3 to 7 hours. Here, the report, the turnaround strategy is that we have appointed 3 queue marshals. You can be having even 20 queue marshals, but if you don't have doctors and nurses to deal with the patients, the queue will remain there with your queue marshals, because queue marshals will be able to be dealing with the line, which is being dealt with the issue of filing and the like. You have just increased
maybe employees in your department, but you haven't dealt with the issue of why is the line there until the other morning? Why do we have patients that are sleeping there in a queue until tomorrow morning? The issue is, do doctors and other nurses and other officials come on time and stop talking about the Pirates and Chiefs game that played yesterday? Thank you very much.
No, but I'll just urge you, just leave the Pirates enjoying this moment. Honorable Panerva.
I'm a pirate. I'm just saying not at work.
Oh, you are now, you are not at work as you are talking about it.
I'm talking work issues here today. I never talk about it with Honorable Ntombela, what happened, that Pirates has won. I've never
said that. Honorable Panerva.
Chair, I don't want to ask a question directly in the info in the report, but what I am worried about is I attended the SCOPA hearing yesterday with ESCOM, and the Free State is not looking good at electricity from the municipality side. So my question would be, in your turnaround, are we ensuring that all hospitals and clinics at least are able to have electricity on the tools they need in this period of time as well, Chair?
Oh, okay. Honorable Young Flood.
Thank you, Chair. I've had some concerns about the ambulance service and the turnaround strategy, but I think I've been covered by the two previous speakers. Then I've just got one other question I would like to ask, and that is whether the curtailment of overtime in hospitals, whether that has in any way affected service delivery. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable W.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you very much. I have been covered by Honorable Ntombela about the 18% vacancy rate, but my second question relates to the 30-day payments. Many small businesses struggle because they are not being paid, and I'm wondering if the departments give them an apology why they have not been paid, and if they are catching up with regards to the payments and the delayed payments. My constituency is the deaf community, so the Deaf Federation of South Africa is also part of the deaf community. Now, DEFSA notified me that they have also not been paid up until to the amount of 24,000 going back to 2015. Now, my concern with that in respect of the deaf community is the department contact DEFSA to coordinate sign language interpreting services. And DEFSA is more than willing to do the coordination because the community does need to have access to information and need to understand what's going on with regard to having a sign language interpreter. Now, DEFSA coordinates, which means DEFSA has to pay the interpreter within a specified time that the interpreters request. We have to pay the interpreters because they are waiting. DEFSA is also an NGO. Now, waiting for a government department to pay them so that they can be refunded because they've already paid the sign language interpreter for their services, but they have not been paid since 2015. So I'm asking the Department of the Premier especially to follow up because DEFSA is still owed money from the Free State. And it's not only DEFSA, there are many other NGOs that are also depending on those funds because they are not able to fundraise. It's becoming more difficult for NGOs to fundraise. When government has the finances, they need to pay for the services that has been provided to them. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Tao.
Thank you, Chair. I almost said Honorable Compella. Well, I want to say well done with your improvements with the audit outcomes. But remember something, in a previous life I was a bookkeeper. Now that'll tell you how long ago that was, right? Unqualified or clean audits should be a matter of course. We will remark about it when you have the other things, not when you have a clean or an unqualified. So if you can get your staff to understand that, then you'll be okay. My concern is really with the overtime thing. Overtime is not just bad, it's quite dangerous and can be fatal. So I'm just hoping that, I know it's not just you, promise, the whole nation has a problem with staffing, especially with the professionals and, you know, the doctors and the specialists. So I just hope that you'll do whatever you can to get them the assistance that you need to make sure that that thing goes away. My other concern is the 17% non-compliance with MPET. 83% is fine. What are we doing with the 17%? That's the key. It's always the key. The guys who are not doing what they're supposed to do, what do we do with them? What are we doing to assist them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tao. From my side, most of the things that I'm going to raise are not necessarily for response. To say, Honorable MEC, is that the areas that Ms. Kekan has just taken us through, what would love is this portfolio committee. It should be applicable in all departments since you are representing the Premier's office. Hence, I'm raising that. And also, it should be like a culture of the problem that this area, because there are soft issues that we're dealing with at this at our portfolio committee. So it's more or less one jacket fits all from where we're sitting, like i.e. issues of payment of service providers, turnaround of service. The other one that I would like to add also, which is not here for the province, not for the for Free State in terms of the sites that we visited, is the payment of municipal services. I'm raising that because Honorable Faneva spoke to that, that most of the departments are all municipalities. And all the time we know that municipalities will say that they don't have capacity, they don't have this, but we don't look at ourselves. And I ask that the Free State government also just pay attention to that. I'm happy that Ms. Kekana, NYTA did report to us last week in terms of those new offices. They did in writing. But also what I'm happy about is that healthy, robust intergovernmental relations also that is taking place. And I'm sure that you have also signed the MOU with them. The issue of the Tusong Center, I appreciate that you have responded to it. Ms. Veronica, I would like you also, Ms. Kolo, must take note of the Tusong Centers, because we are waiting for the fourth generation, which has been presented at the cabinet, so that it can come back and assist municipalities and province also to know which angle are we taking, as it were. And of course, notwithstanding that municipal Tusong Centers are meant to have one-stop shop in terms of government services, because that one is for DPSA to look at. No, the Honourable Members have spoken to that. Okay, let me just say. Well, the other one that I would like to talk to, and I thought Honourable Velma will talk to, because I texted her over the weekend, that if you can borrow lessons, MEC, from KZN, I heard over the radio, but I'm still waiting a written report in terms of that, training of nurses on sign language. But I'm not saying that people living with disabilities are only sign language, people who have got sign language need, but also our walk-in offices or centers in all departments. If you can also look at the accessibility for people living with disabilities and recruitment as well. While Mr. Tobela has raised the issue, I think it's you, Honorable Tobela, the issue of payment of service providers. Also, you must know what, you know, the technocrats, that's like from at my left, what they do, including you. I don't have the evidence, I'm not accusing anyone, I'm just generally as possible. They bank invoices. They look at the same name of the company and then they put it on top for processing. And when you pay that attention, which is good, it's promising, but also look at the date. Because in 2015, if I'm not mistaken, when we had a public hearing, the negative financial impact and trauma that would subject our people, because they would have provided the services for government, which means they volunteered their money to government unfairly so, and government doesn't pay them. I'm not saying you're doing it, but I'm saying also pay attention, MEC, throughout your department, it will go a long way. Other than that, you may respond to the areas, and hopefully also you will also, because you have received the response, those ones who are ongoing issues in terms of addressing also, through Veronica DPSA, can we get a continuous update in a quarterly basis as well? But then, Tom Bella, then I can hand over to you to respond. Well,
thanks for indulgence, Chair. Chairperson, one would have appreciated it if the presenter would have given us timelines on the recommendations that we did last time. But when we say, when we recommend, or when we get an indication that such a problem will be solved, and it should be clear, it should be solved after what period. But when we come back to get such a report today, we're able to say, but last you promised that within 2 months it will be addressed. Why was it not addressed? So I think it will assist us to give timelines on issues that still have to happen. I'm talking about issues such as the Home Affairs offices, buildings, and NYGA, and so on. Yes. And then with regard to the 30-day payment, Chair, we always get stats about the compliance and so on. But from a practical point of view, if I bring a company from my constituency that says the Department of Health has not paid me for the last 2 years, how do I deal with that? And how do I deal with it in such a way that I'm able to communicate with the department and see it through, that it has happened, indeed it has been corrected? Because the principle is, we're paying our companies in 30 days' time. Once it goes beyond that, it becomes a problem. And if you are confronted with a problem of that nature, the person expects you, as a member of parliament, to deal with it to its finality. Mm-hmm. And how then do I put it into, how do I deal with it in that diplomacy?
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I'm tempted to take Ms. Kekana, then the MEC will sum up and then we'll close the discussion.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll start with the critical issue of the 30-day payment. If there is a complaint, we have established a contact centre in the office of the Premier, and the email address is 30dayspayments@fspremier.gov.za, and complaints with regards to 30-day payments can be sent to that contact center. And we have officials that have been allocated to deal with cases and also give feedback to the complainants. But a case is deemed resolved when appropriate and sufficient response is communicated to the service provider. Because in some cases, the invoice that has been submitted, they go and verify and say the work was not done as you have claimed, so we don't pay for that. But at least we should give feedback formally to the service provider to say why has the invoice not been paid. But we will try to publicize that contact center, Honourable Chair, because I've seen our cases are still very low. We established it last year in August, but the complaints that we are receiving are not correlating with the unpaid invoices within 30 days. And with regards to municipal services, fortunately, it's one issue, Honourable Chair, that we're discussing. It was discussed yesterday at the Executive Council. The challenge that we have is that our budget as the province and government is decreasing. Municipalities are increasing the rates, and it creates a problem where government, and I'm not protecting those that are not paying, but there are invoices, yes, that are supposed to be paid, But we have cases where the rates are increasing. Municipalities' rates, they increase every year, and with a high percentage. And our budget as the province, as provincial departments, is not increasing. So we, EXCO has taken a resolution yesterday that provincial government should engage with municipalities with regards to the increase of rates, because government cannot afford to pay them. So probably if we can try and cap the increase in terms of percentage for rates so that government can be able to pay them, because our budget is not increasing. And the issue of the Tusong Service Center, Honorable Chair, we have opened, we're working with DPSA, we have opened the second urban center in the country, and that was opened after the visit of the portfolio committee, and that was opened in Thabong, which is one of our biggest townships in the province. And it's similar to Maponya Mall. SASA has moved into that office recently, and daily I've received a report that in terms of steps, we are actually getting about, by yesterday we had about 400 people that came into the center to request for services. So we'll continue working with DPSA to make sure that we expand our Tusong service centers. Mayor Irene Griffiths will respond to the 17% MPET compliance.
Okay, over to you, ma'am. Okay. Honorable Dawu, can ma'am just use your mic so that it doesn't become the discussion between you and Honorable Dawu? Yeah, technology.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I think that is in with regard to fraud prevention. What we've said there is that three departments have not complied. They do not have fraud prevention policies in place, yes. And we are actually busy now doing that with the next assessment, those things will be in place.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kana, we're done in response. Can I then allow the MEC, then we wrap up? Over to you, sir. Honorable Minister, MEC.
My Chair, thank you very much. Chair, we the shortage of the nurses, we have worked a little bit harder. There is a hope there, and that the shortage of the nurses at least is less. We're doing a model that the Minister of Health said that we must look at the private hospitals vis-a-vis our public hospitals, that they don't have a huge professional nurses, but they have a huge of the troopers that are running on the ground with little on the head. So you must have a better small head with a big body that can run and that is healthy.
And
so
well managed.
So we are going to that, because the troopers on the ground are the ones that are keeping the hospital alive, but the staff nurses and others in the office are not necessarily keeping that. So we have moved towards that model, and is beginning to yield better results, Chair. I want to say there is in health something that is unavoidable called committed overtime. Whether that doctor is working or is not working, in terms of the law, that doctor is paid for that overtime where he's at home, and then is called by law a committed overtime. So at times we need to put a little bit to honourable members that distinction of overtime and what we call a committed overtime, so that you will see that whether we like it and try to bring it down, there will always be an overtime in terms of the mandate of the legislation to us. The timeline, honourable member, I think you are right. The correspondence, I wish, that's what I said to the officials, I said, you are going to a political platform in the National Assembly. Members of the Portfolio Committee are not officials. It's a political platform, and therefore, every matter that they discuss and raise with you, it must find a resonate to me first before you could even go and handle that. And in instances of that nature, Chair, I would love to get even correspondence that are talking to these matters from your side so that it commits me, because at times you send it to the official and then put it aside and then you get angry, and yet I have not seen that. So at always, when you pick up those matters and let them come to direct to our office so that at least we can assist in doing that, whilst you are assisting us very tremendously where you are in making up these matters. The ambulance in the town Tambela, time has improved. We are going to increase the issue of the ambulances very soon. The ambulances for the Free State province per one patient, one ambulance per 10,000 people. That is how the health has put equation there. One ambulance per 10,000. And as it we stand now, we have about 280 ambulances that are in our province. So we have 136. And then we need to fill that 136 so that at least we completely knowing that our per patient or per population capita, we are conforming to that. 280 as opposed to 136 that we have, at least we are having ambulances that have just gone in now, and that is a matter of government guarantee registration and all that. I'm sure to an honorable member, we will be able to do. What you are doing in the Free State as it is, honorable chair, honorable Tambela is right. You can't have somebody who's sitting in dwelling and then you ask him about Pahameng in Bloemfontein, doesn't know what is happening. In the police, as you drive on the N1, you come closer to Windbeck, you call 10111. Somebody in the police station who stays there talks to you, and we're trying to converge the call for...
And you see, can I just interrupt you? I'm sorry to do this. I'm really sorry. I would suggest that, because I thought we were going to make an overall summative, because what we raised in terms of the nurses, I was raising in terms of training of nurses on sign language, borrowing it from KZN, not necessarily the shortages of nursing. Two, Honorable Dombela was raising the turnaround time of a relevant ambulance with the tools of assisting the person at scene, whether it's sick at home or giving birth or whatever, whatever. So I'm saying probably let's leave the administrative part of it and also go back home and discuss with the officials, because if you are saying we are going to get additional members and ambulances for argument's sake, the question that will follow that, do we have, your organogram does talk to that, because there are also operational costs that we do have an interest on on that, to say they are the ambulances, but do they do the service? So I'm saying probably, if you may, if you don't mind, just deal with a high-level summative of all what's, because fairly we're comfortable where we are, and also the technocrats will also report to you or present to you in terms of the timeline, in terms of that a template that says that this is an activity, that status of the activity, responsible official, and also that also you can whip them. So, but from our side also, we'll continue writing to the Premier, because what happens if you get reshuffled and then it becomes on a lighter note?
No, Chair, thank you very much. No, I take your point. Chair, the equipment that are going for a call, the first a point of call becomes a faster ambulance that is going to arrive there and do an assessment. The jaws of life and others become heavy tools that are taking time. Therefore, you cannot, when there is an accident now, you send the jaws of jaws of life in that area. When you arrive there, it's people that doesn't need it, and then it must drive back again. Mm-hmm. And then there is a small car that quickly goes to advanced car, maybe GTI-1. As it arrives in the plane, then it discusses with the call center and says, I think we need the jaws of life. People are trapped in a vehicle and all that. Then they don't just drive there. When they arrive there, there's nothing that happens for them. But most of the time, on our chain, they go there with full equipment so that they can save life after they put in and do a proper assessment by the emergency and at the scene where the accident will occur. Mayor Van der Waal, electricity at the hospitals by municipal manager, by municipality, which is the last point. It's a serious mess. They have quite a few municipalities. We have also got the notices from ESCOM that they are switching off electricity, and others are switching off water. In the Free State, we have all the hospitals that are having the generator backup. But those generator backups, according to what we got as a schedule for notice of the ESCOM on closing down electricity, is moving beyond. It can last for almost 8 hours. But they are closing from 6 o'clock to 20 hours in the evening, meaning that that engine is going to run, and then up until it gets hot, and then it can't move beyond that. But we have made an example, a chair, of a hospital where we are getting water direct from a water resource in Bloomwater. We are getting electricity direct from ESCOM, and then we pay direct there, because municipalities, whether you pay them or you don't pay them, there will always be problems there that are leading to the shut off of the hospital. So for now, we are in discussion in following the model that we've had in Kharif. In all our hospitals, we must get direct from the sources, both water and electricity, to avert an eventuality where there could be a cut of water by any other reason. The 15, Verma, Honorable Verma, I have not received that. I have not had any information about it, but I can guarantee you, Chair, by tomorrow, Helen will discuss with you and say, we have looked into the invoice that is for, has been there for up to 2015 up until today, of DEFSA. I think it's wrong. DEFSA is a component that we need, and people with disabilities are getting priority from our Department of Health. This one is my DEFSA. Probably a matter that I didn't know about it, but I will handle it as soon as we arrive at home and dispose of that matter. Thank you very much.
And other invoices, MEC.
Yes.
No, thank you so much, MEC. Let me also repeat, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, we appreciate for your presence to lead the delegation, that you do take us seriously, but also most importantly is the issues from the last we visited your province, that there has been a movement, a positive one. And we are watching the space on that. Through DPSA, they will assist us, Masha and Veronica, pick up issues that we must deal with at a national level as well. And also pick up the issue that the MEC has raised, that we must be careful that provinces don't render municipalities useless by taking some of the responsibilities in terms of the constitution that are responsibility of municipalities. I'm worried about that, because some of the provinces, municipalities, they don't have the revenue base. If you take the little that they can have, then you are rendering them to close down. And it needs law to do that. But other than that, MEC, and I know that you are bonding with that gentleman, that young gentleman there with the glasses. I don't know whether it's a glasses sector or what.
Chair, what you come disindile did I? Nana we conniving, but no.
And actually, Mina, I was saying when I MEC. I know, but I was going to cut you, because you're going to take your backlist outside and bring them here. But other than that, thank you so much. You are allowed to leave quietly, because the meeting still continues. Honorable members, we are dealing with the minutes of the 21st of February.
Maybe you can clarify that.
No, I've requested that, Veronica, we requested that we go out quietly, because Julius is talking to you and Mascole. Would like to continue, honorable members, because we need a health break 1 hour before the sitting. Page 1 of the minutes of the 21st. Look at the minutes, so that's page 1. It's the same one that was sent electronically. It's just to be sure. Page 1, it's a housekeeping, and page 2 in terms of the apologies and all that. And yeah, you didn't apologize to the gentleman, the EFF guy last time.
Yeah.
Okay. MEC, leave and allow us to continue with our meeting. We have dealt with the housekeeping in terms of attendance and apologies. I must repeat that too. We must also look at the apologies and attendance because they are very important. They might be just housekeeping matters, but they are very crucial, important ones, even for the tax return. Page three. Then we're just dealing with the third quarter report. I must say that in terms of the actual third quarter report, we'll be dealing with those reports on the 14th of March. So this one is what transpired in the meeting. It doesn't suggest that members didn't raise anything, but the minutes, that's how in terms of the templates need to reflect. Page three gives us the last page. May I get a mover? Honorable Van der Waals and Comrade Dobbs, let's go to the minutes of the 28th of Feb, honorable members. The housekeeping matters from page one to page two. Even here, honorable members, we were dealing also with the third quarter DPSA School of and its entities, and also Public Service Commission. Then it brings us to the last page, honorable members. Velma, honorable W.
Page 4.3. All of those minutes have 2018 on them, and that's still coming.
Yeah, November, yeah, sure. Mascot, I was going to applaud you that you can't be at in March and be at in November. But also, what are you saying, honorable member? Okay, but correct them formally, honorable W.
Okay, so page 4.3. Consideration and adoption of previous committee minutes. 3.1 has November 2018. 3.2 has 15 November 2018, and then 3.3 has and 3.4. All of them needs to be changed to 2017.
No, thank you so very much.
Amended with correction.
Yeah, he wants us to go for recess for elections. He doesn't want us anymore.
Yeah.
With that correction, can we get the mover and the seconder? You move, seconder. Honorable, no, before. No, were you then? Let me just double check. No, you can't. We missed you. No, you were there. Okay, thank you, honorable. W and Honorable Fanevat. With that, honorable members, no, we see them through the electronic. Having said that, honorable members, thank you so very much for the meeting and your time and attending. If there are anything that you'd like to raise, my colleagues here, and we'll make sure that all members are also, let's check also my colleague with the other political parties, whether they have changed members. I know IC had a change, but we haven't seen that, honorable member, just to make sure that nobody says that we don't send communique. Just as a courtesy, there's no need if people doesn't pitch up, but we're nice people. We care. We are a team. Other than that, let me just welcome honorable member who's walking out, and the meeting stands adjourned.
People closing the meeting and opening it.
I want to do the lack of luck here. Yeah.
Okay.